From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. Currently, his focus is on the Gospel of Luke. The theme of Luke's Gospel may be stated as, What Christ Feels. At the very beginning of this book, Luke explains that his purpose is to set forth those things which are most surely believed among us. With the methodical approach of a physician, he seeks to encourage believers of the things concerning Christ. In the opening two chapters, he provides a summary of Christ's life and ministry in four beautiful songs. These songs reveal that the message of salvation is for all men, for Gentiles as well as Jews. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Prayer for Peace. The text is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. The principle involved in this text would suggest to all of us who are the Lord's strangers and foreigners that we should be desirous to promote the peace and prosperity of the people among whom we dwell. Specially should our nation and our city be blessed by our constant intercession. An earnest prayer for your country and other countries is well becoming in the mouth of every believer. Eagerly let us pray for the great boon of peace, both at home and abroad. If strife should cause bloodshed in our streets, or if foreign battle should slay our brave soldiers, we should all bewail the calamity. Let us therefore pray for peace, and diligently promote those principles by which the classes at home and the races abroad may be bound together in bonds of amity. We ourselves are promised quiet in connection with the peace of the nation, and this is most desirable. For thus we can bring up our families in the fear of the Lord, and also preach the gospel without let or hindrance. Today let us be much in prayer for our country, confessing national sins, and asking for national pardon and blessing, for Jesus' sake.
Thank you.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs at freepres.org. That's ltbs at freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
When you read the opening chapters of Luke's Gospel, you discover that there are certain unique features. For instance, here, alone among the Gospels, you will find the four hymns that surround the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. They usually go by their Latin titles because for 1,000 years or more, the Latin Bible was used throughout Christendom, and people came to call these passages by either the first or the controlling word out of the Latin Bible. In chapter 1, verse 46 to 55, we have what's called Mary's Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And you can see where the Magnificat comes from. It's from magnifying the Lord. Now, what is the theme of Mary's Magnificat? It is, verse 54, 55, God's promise to Abraham and to Israel, fulfilled in her virgin-born son. She sings, she rejoices in God's promise to Abraham and Israel, fulfilled in Christ. In chapter 1, verse 68 to 79, we have Zacharias' Benedictus. And the Benedictus comes from the first word, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And what is the theme there? The theme is the redemption of Israel in Christ, who is called the horn of salvation out of the house of David, all given according to the promise and the oath that God gave to Abraham. So Mary sings of the promise to Abraham and Israel. Zacharias sings of the redemption of Israel. The horn of salvation out of the house of David, according to the promise given to Abraham. Now we turn over to chapter 2. And from verse 11 to 14, we find the angels speaking. And in verse 14, they have this wonderful note of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Back in verse 11, they have said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that was not a message just for those people. But the end of verse 10 says, it's for all people. Now see the progress. Mary sings about the promise to Abraham and Israel. Zacharias sings about the redemption of Israel. Now the angels sing about a Savior for all men. They sing about peace, not just in Israel, but on earth. And goodwill, not just toward Jews, but towards men. Then in chapter 2, verse 29 to 32, we have Simeon's Nunc Dimittis. And that again is just from the Latin Bible, where he prays, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Nunc Dimittis. And the theme of the Nunc Dimittis is, in Christ, salvation is prepared for all men. Verse 30, the very end of the verse, thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all men, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What is Simeon singing about? Christ, the light of the Gentiles, and at the same time, the glory of his people Israel. So here then, in these four songs, you've got the message of Luke. It's a message of covenant faithfulness. It's a message of redemption. It's a message of peace. It's a message of grace. It's a message of goodwill from God to man. It's a message for the Jews, and it's a message for the Gentiles. In the words of Simeon again, Christ is the light of the Gentiles, and he is the glory of Israel. Now that's the message of Luke. All the details of the book go to confirm it. Like Matthew, Luke has a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew's genealogy is through the line of Joseph, who was the legal father, though not the biological father, of Jesus Christ. Luke's genealogy is that of Mary. And the interesting thing is, in Matthew, where the emphasis is upon Christ, the King of Israel, the genealogy goes through David back to Abraham, and it stops there. But in Luke, it goes through David, through Abraham, and back to Adam. Because here, it's not a message merely about Jews and Israel, it's a message about the Gentiles as well. Then we have read in chapter 4, Christ's statement of his mission to the world. And you'll notice that he very clearly stated that that mission was to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to the captives, and sight to the blind, and liberty to the bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, what did he mean by all that? Well, he wasn't long in making it clear. He began to interpret that. The Jews thought that this was true, but it would belong to the Jews exclusively. So the Lord Jesus immediately began to speak to them. And he said, well, there were many, many widows in the land in the days of Elijah. But God didn't save one of them. Rather, the only widow that the Lord delivered was a Gentile widow in Zidon. You could see the furrowed brows of his listeners. Then he came to the time of Elisha the prophet, and he said there were many lepers in Israel, but the Lord didn't deliver one of them. No, he took a Gentile leper, Naaman the Syrian, and he cleansed and healed him. That was too much for the Jews in Nazareth. They wanted to kill Christ. Strange, you know, how people say they're Bible believers, but they only want to hear what they think the Bible says, and when you start preaching what the Bible really says, they begin to get mad at you. There are an awful lot of Nazaritish Jews about today, and they're not Jews, they're sitting in Christian churches. Don't tell me what the Bible really says. I'll get upset with you. That's what they did with Christ. Let us linger in our ignorance. Well, he didn't let them linger in ignorance. He made it clear that they might think of Jews and Gentiles as mutually exclusive lots of people, but he came to save both of them inclusively, Jews and Gentiles. And thus, as you go right through this book, you'll find that while the Lord Jesus did a great deal of miracle working among the Israelites, yet he laid specific and special emphasis upon the Gentiles. You remember when he told the parable in chapter 10 that's only found in Luke's gospel? It was of the good Samaritan. It was not of the good Israelite. The Israelites passed by on the other side. The good Samaritan. And then in chapter 17, when he healed 10 lepers, and only one of them came back to thank the Lord, he pointed out that that one was a Samaritan. So that while he did have grace and favor for the Jews, he was emphasizing that his gospel goes away beyond the Jews and it reaches to the Gentiles. We get to the final chapter of the Gospel of Luke. You find it's all summed up in verses 45 to 47. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So there it is, the message of Christ the Savior, in the words of Luke chapter 2, the end of verse 10, to all men a Savior. That's what the Gospel of Luke is all about. Now, there's a very good analysis of this book that I can give you, and a very simple analysis, and you could work out that theme. Luke starts off by speaking of the advent of the Savior. Then he takes quite a long time dealing with the activities of the Savior. Then he comes to the cross, where we have the atonement of the Savior. And finally, the book climaxes with the ascension of the Savior. Now, that's a very simple outline of the book of Luke's Gospel. However, time's not going to allow me to preach that outline. If I were to start on that, well, we'd be here the next Sunday. But what I want us to do today is just to focus mostly upon his activities. And I want to show you one thing running right throughout this gospel. If you're not saved, I hope it will be a message that God will use in your heart to bring you to Christ. And if you are saved, I hope it will be a message that God will use to stir up your soul and get you moving in the work of evangelism. As you look through this book, you will see Christ's reach of love. The reach of the love of Jesus Christ to sinners of every kind. And especially in this book, there's a tremendous emphasis upon Christ's reaching out to the outcasts and to the poor and to the hopeless. Something else. There's a great emphasis in this book, though it'll come up as we mention it, but I'm not going to follow it through as a theme. All the ladies should pay particular attention to. Luke's gospel, above all the other gospels, lays a very special emphasis upon the relationship of the women to Jesus Christ. And remembering the background of the nation in which Christ's ministry was taking place, you will see just what grace he was exhibiting. Now, let's see the people whom Christ saved and delivered according to this Gospel of Luke. Chapter 7, let's start there for a moment. Verse 37 to 50. We read that there was a woman who was a sinner. The Lord Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Pharisee thought that he was doing Christ a great favor, having him into his home. He didn't even give him the normal courtesies of the day. He didn't wash his feet after the dusty pathway he had taken. But this woman of the streets, this fallen, immoral, wretched creature who was looked down upon by Simon the Pharisee, she came in. And we find that she brought an alabaster box. And she split it open. And she washed his feet with her tears. And wiped them with her hairs and kissed his feet. And then anointed them with ointment. A woman who was a sinner. Simon wanted to push her out. Who would want to touch her? She's the off-scarring of all flesh. She's morally corrupt. She's physically filthy. Why would any decent person touch her? But Jesus Christ welcomed the fallen woman. And when she went out of his presence, she was a fallen woman no more. For thank God she was gloriously saved. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to recapture it. Instead of having our churches as little clubs of goody-goody people who don't touch the real world, to realize that Christ receiveth sinful men and sinful women. This woman, the sinner in the city, was touched and healed and saved. Chapter 8, verse 2, we find there were certain women that he healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And one of them was Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Here's another poor woman. In this case, there's no evidence that she was an immoral woman. But in some way, she had come under the awful power of Satan. Now let me tell you, I don't know what Mary's background was, I don't know what her lifestyle had been, but anybody who ever comes under the possession and the control of the devil and his legions is in a sorry state, in a corrupt state, in a filthy state, and in a most ungodly state, and on top of it all, in a most miserable state. The picture of Mary Magdalene as she came into the presence of Christ is of a life that's wrecked and dominated by the devil. But the Lord Jesus cast the devils out. The Lord Jesus healed her of her infirmities. The Lord Jesus cleansed her of every satanic power and influence. thank God he's still the same today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.